And welcome back. We continue our conversations with the contesting Democratic candidates for St. Louis County Executive in the August 5th primary. Incumbent Charlie Dooley was with us in the first segment. Joining us now is his chief rival, County Councilman Steve Stenger. A third candidate in the race, Ronald Levy, has not been actively campaigning. Mr. Stenger is a practicing attorney and CPA and has been on the council since his 2008 election. Again, you can join our live online conversation at stlpublicradio.org. Steve Stenger, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
How are you holding up, all right?
Quite well. It's been exciting.
Let me start with you the same way I did with Mr. Dooley. As we all know, many people make up their minds on the basis of television advertising. There has been a lot of it, and it's been controversial. Do you think it's a fair representation of you to associate Mr. Dooley with the various FBI investigations taking place in the county when he is not the subject of those investigations?
I do believe that it is, and I believe that it is because for the first time in really St. Louis County's history, we have had, and it's true, we've had three FBI investigations into county government. Charlie Dooley is the head of St. Louis County government. He is the head of the executive branch, and I know that if things would go my way, I hope to be county executive, and as county executive, I will tell you that the buck stops with me. So I would be responsible, just as Charlie is, for the operations of St. Louis County government, and in many of the cases that we're talking about, Charlie Dooley's appointed heads of departments were involved in activities that spurred the investigations. And at least in the last case, which involved an appointment to the St. Louis County Police Board, a contract was given to a police commissioner. And that contract was completely inappropriate, completely violated our charter. And there are true issues with respect to law. And so in that particular case, I don't know that it's clear that the county executive is not in some way the subject of that investigation. And we also received a federal criminal grand jury investigation subpoena to the St. Louis County government. And that's certainly something that's happened for the first time. And it was clearly investigating the administration.
But is all of that strong enough to allege or certainly suggest in very strong terms that the executive himself is guilty somehow of corruption?
Well, with respect to the last investigation particularly, I think that it's even beyond suggestion. I think that the administration is the subject of that investigation. So I do believe that it's appropriate. And I think that it's even more than based in fact. I think it's factual.
Well, I'll ask this now as I asked him at the end of our interview. If you, in fact, are not the candidate, can you support Mr. Dooley if he emerges as the winner?
You know, that's something that I will have to see at the time. You know, I think that at the end of all of this, though, regardless, we're all going to need to come together as a party, and we're going to have to talk about, you know, the differences that perhaps have been caused through this campaign. But I'm certainly open to that conversation. At the time, you know, regardless of how the race goes, I do believe that I will be the winner of this race. I believe that I'll be the nominee. And I'm more than willing to have that discussion.
What do you see as the principal divide between you and Mr. Dooley?
Well, I think what the last 10 years have shown is that, and I think it's been demonstrated in those last 10 years, I think it's engaged leadership. I think that what we're lacking right now is engaged leadership, and I think that engaged leadership is what I offer St. Louis County. And by engaged leadership, I mean in leadership that that is accountable to the people of St. Louis County, and leadership with vision, and leadership that shows up every day truly engaged in the issues that St. Louis County faces. And I think that that's been lacking for some time now.
Well, apparently somebody has faith in his leadership because he cited some of the things that he accomplishments. accomplishments, I'll use a different word. Some of the things that have happened that have been positive during his time, Express Scripts, for instance, the Plant Science Center, and he has a long list of issues and things that have happened in the county that are very positive.
Well, and I think that over the last 10 years, I don't think that it's, beyond our experience to see that there are certainly going to be positive things that occur, but we've also had so many negative things occur that they've sort of, at least over the last 3 years, they've drowned out anything positive that's going on in St. Louis County. I mean, we've nearly seen, and I'm sure you've seen, almost, lately on a weekly basis, there's, especially over the last year, scandal after scandal. mistake after mistake. And I think what's troubling about these mistakes that we've seen and the issues that we've seen surface is that simply no one is held accountable. I mean, there's no accountability in our current county government structure. And I think that that really shakes the confidence that residents and taxpayers have in the government that essentially they're paying for. And I think that that poses a real problem for us now, and I think it poses a problem for us in the future as we move forward.
Are you referring once again to the various investigations that the FBI is a part of?
Well, you know, I mean, and it's really the headlines. The headlines don't lie. You know, we see...
I would dispute that, but go ahead.
Well, but we see, you know, but I mean, the headlines at least, you know, are factual in that, you know, we see a felon being hired at the St. Louis County Economic Council. We see a tax collector that is hired who was delinquent in her taxes for 5 years. The three FBI investigations. The county executive attempting to close one half of our parks in retaliation for the county council not wanting to go along with a property tax increase. And then later that year we learn that there's not a $26 million structural deficit, as he claimed. It was not the effects of the recession. We ended the year with a $3.2 million surplus. Blocking women's access to domestic violence shelters and then having to pass a law and draft a law to allow women access to our shelter. I mean, those things are the things that I'm talking about. So in those cases, I believe the headlines are absolutely correct. And those are things that we just shouldn't have as part of our government.
Well, let's just take the parks issue for a moment. He suggested that he might have to close some parks, but that never happened.
Well, what he did, Don, was he proposed a budget. He didn't, the way you're characterizing it, the way it happened in reality is much different. He proposed a budget that had within the terms of the budget the closure of one half of our parks. And we had hundreds of people come to council meetings, you know, urging him not to do this. And he said his take on it in the press was that he never proposed that, but it's in paper. I mean, it's written. There's a public record of what he did. So certainly I can tell you the reason why our parks were not closed was because of the men and women on the St. Louis County Council who held his budget and would not approve it. And I heard his segment earlier where he said that the council is charged with the responsibility of voting the budget up or voting the budget down. And that was a case where all of the council members except for, I think at the time, one council member who was a political ally of his, all of the council members were holding the budget. They would not approve his budget because it involved not just closing half of our parks, but firing about 200 and some odd employees and really pushing for that property tax increase that none of us wanted to have. I mean, that was unanimous. Unanimously, we said, no, there's no need to raise property taxes. And as it turned out, we were absolutely correct. We ended the year with a $3.2 million surplus. And, we're left to speculate as to why he wanted to raise property taxes when the property tax was unneeded. I believe it had something to do with what wound up being another headline, which was the $30 million cost overrun with the family courthouse. I believe he wanted to raise property taxes at that time and didn't want to tell the public why he wanted to do it. But the reason why he wanted to do it was he wanted to basically increase our revenue intake so that we could have a higher bonding authority for the courthouse, because he knew before the courthouse was built that it was going to cost more than it actually more than what he was asking for.
He would point out, as he did earlier in the program, that many of the things that you talk about were the result of this great recession that we had and the fact that the dollars were very, very scarce. What makes you think that you could have done anything any differently with fewer dollars?
Well, I can tell you, that we would have, under my leadership, we would have done things much differently. And I can tell you that the result, and as we've come through that recession, I mean, I think all over the country, we didn't see large cities falling apart and closing their doors. That's not what was going on. Everyone muddled through, and we muddled through. And on the St. Louis County Council, I think we played a very large role in muddling through. We made it through that. But now where we are, as it stands, for the first time since 1880, we've suffered a population loss. And while all of our regional partners grow, we're shrinking. So they also went through the recession just as we did, but they're managing to have a population growth. We've had a 39,000 net job loss in St. Louis County over the last 10 years of this county executive. We are 89th in job growth among the top 100 cities in the country. So, you know, are we faring well? Those statistics don't speak well for us, and those are the facts. You know, those are from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Those are actually from our own St. Louis County strategic plan.
Yeah, this is a good time to bring in a message that we had via our online public inside network from Charles Hinderleiter in Maplewood. How are you going to create jobs and grow the St. Louis region's economy?
Well, I can give you some examples and I can give you, you know, a general outlay of the plan. My plan is going to focus on workforce development, and it's going to also focus on building corporate infrastructure. And I'll give you a great example of corporate infrastructure first. Recently, in February, St. Louis County and our region lost out on Google Fiber. And Google Fiber is a high-speed transmission data line that is, you know, quite literally hundreds of times faster than anything we have here in St. Louis. Google had a program. They invested $70 million in Kansas City, and we were passed up for Kansas City. And if you read the St. Louis Business Journal article on this subject, the reason given for the loss of this very important piece of infrastructure, which would have been provided to us by Google at no cost to taxpayers, at least for that portion of it, was because of the leadership in St. Louis, and that the leadership was not accommodating and was not willing to work with Google on things like right-of-way and access, and also cooperation among our various municipalities. And that was the reason given. Now, that to me is a very sad state of affairs, especially when you consider that high-speed data transmission is going to be, as the county executive, I was listening to his segment, referred to bringing us into the 21st century with our economy. Well, that is the 21st century economy. It's data. It's data transmission. And we lost out on a tremendous opportunity with Google Fiber, high-speed data transmission. And at this point, we're not even being considered by Google in the second round. And I will tell you that corporate infrastructure, just like that Google Fiber, is so vital to us to participate in this 21st century economy. We can't do without it. So within my first 100 days, with respect to that particular piece of infrastructure, we are going to begin work to bring that particular piece of infrastructure to St. Louis County. And within the first 100 days of my administration, we will be looking and searching for all of what we need to have for corporate infrastructure in order to attract businesses to St. Louis County, and also to service the businesses that we have existing in St. Louis County already, and to assist them in their growth and in prospering.
How do you do that? How do you bring Google in? I mean, what do you offer them? You have to have something to make it attractive.
I'll tell you this, and I said this in the beginning, what I offered that was different than what we have now as far as leadership is concerned, and that is engaged leadership. That means going to Google, and it means taking our economic development arm that St. Louis County taxpayers fund in the millions of dollars, $4 million for that, bringing a team to Google and just show Google just how much we want them to come to St. Louis. And what they were looking for was cooperation. They were looking for a county that was willing to work with them. That's what they wanted. And Kansas City got it rather than us. Places like Akron, Ohio. I mean, they got it. We didn't get it. So I think that I can present the case to Google. I think I can present the case and work with others that are in our community to bring those needed pieces of infrastructure. And, you know, engaged leadership also involves identifying those pieces of infrastructure that we need. And right now, I'm sorry to say it, but that is just not going on.
Let's talk about, as we did with Mr. Dooley, one of the issues that is very much on the mind of our listeners and people who live in this region, and that is the notion of some sort of accelerated and advanced cooperation between St. Louis City and County, whether it's a merger, whether it's the city entering the county, or a consolidation of some other form. Where are you on all of that?
Well, let me first start with the common ground that I think that we all have, and that is cooperating. You know, one of the things that we did on the council was approve the joint economic partnership mm-hmm. between the city and the county. And I think that's a very good idea. And I think that's a good idea in situations like Google, where Google comes to us is looking at us as a region, looking at us as a county as well, to show them that there is cooperation. I think that's important, and that's why I voted for it. And I think that we should not be competing with one another. We should be, you know, on the global stage as a unit. I think that's a fine idea. Sharing of services. You know, we're already doing some of that, and we could do more of that.
All of this under Mr. Dooley's watch, by the way.
Well, but with also the cooperation of the St. Louis County Council, undoubtedly. We're doing some sharing with respect to the police department, some of their services, some of the health department's functions, and I think all those things are good things. Now, when we get to the various proposals with respect to whether merger or consolidation, I think it's really important to not make a political decision with regard to this very, very important issue, because I can tell you that in going out and talking with county residents just through this campaign, it is a matter that is on many people's minds. And I take a very analytical approach to it. And first, we need to know what the proposals are. And I don't think that it's enough to just talk about merger in general and try to have some gut reaction to a merger, or to talk about a consolidation and have some gut reaction to a consolidation. We need to know what the proposals are. We need to develop proposals if there are going to be proposals. And right now, there are groups, as we all know, studying these issues. And from what I understand, from what I've read about in the paper and heard from others, that studies should be completed sometime around 2015. I think we need to look at those studies. We need to analyze those studies. And there are going to be quantitative factors, I think, that need to be considered. There's going to be quantitative impacts. There's also going to be qualitative impacts, and we need to consider those too. And there's also going to be, you know, time frames that are going to need to be considered, the short term, midterm, long term. All those things need to be considered. And as the county executive, you have a fiduciary duty to the people of St. Louis County. And I think that from that perspective, we need to look at it as county residents. We need to determine what the impacts are, weigh the possibilities, weigh the impacts, and come to a decision. And I think it's a very important decision. I think it's a decision that will be decided, I think, in part by St. Louis County voters and St. Louis City voters ultimately. But that's how I would evaluate those proposals. But to have a gut reaction, as you asked for, essentially, you know, would I propose, you know, would I favor a merger? Would I favor a consolidation? I'm not really prepared to say that until I've seen the data. And I think that that is the responsible way to approach the issue. Now, the county executive has had a few different positions on this. At a SLU symposium, he said we needed to merge and we needed to merge now. I don't think that that's the prudent course. I really think that it's something that we, as I said, we need to take an analytical approach. And I'm very open-minded to the studies. I'm very open-minded to them continuing to study it. But I think that we really need to be very, you know, I think we need to proceed with caution.
You know, I would like to think, given the fact that you've been on the council all this time and the fact that this is not an issue that has suddenly emerged, that you might have some ideas of your own, regardless of who is studying what.
Oh, certainly ideas, but, you know.
Well, let's have some of them.
Well, with respect to our ideas, though, I mean, I think that, once again, in making the determination of whether you move forward with such a plan or any plan, you know, you have to know the quantitative impacts. I don't think that it's prudent to proceed with a plan without knowing what the economic impacts would be. So I'm really, I don't think that at this point the issue is far enough along to be able to make a determination one way or the other. And even being on the council, I can tell you that being on the council or being the county executive is not going to give you the perspective that you need to assess all those various impacts. It's just not. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts in making this decision. And right. I think it needs to have very solid data.
But if you're going to be a leader and you're talking about engaged leadership, you'd think that, you know, maybe your voice would be somewhat louder than it appears to be at the moment.
Well, I think that engaged leadership in this case involves, and I think the prudent leadership involves gathering all the data, gathering all the facts, gathering the cases that people are making for each various proposal and evaluating those. And once again, it's not something that can be a gut reaction. I think you're the leader of a million people, and there are quite literally billions of dollars at stake. I think that it's very important that any decision that's made be made on data and not just from the gut. You know, and I can tell you that, you know, the gut, you know, someone's gut is not going to, you know, make the decision in this case. It's going to have to be based on data.
A similar question to one we posed to Mr. Dooley. Well, I want to keep this kind of on the same level, given the fact that you're appearing separately. Oh, by the way, with regard to the separate appearances, this was to have been a date possibly for you two to debate. We had offered this date and this time, and here you are together but separately, and we hope to have you together.
You know, and Don, I will tell you that, and this was clear in all papers of record and all radios of record, I have accepted every debate challenge that that anyone has offered, I mean, any radio station. Mr. Dooley proposed two dates, and you heard the dates that he proposed. One date, public radio couldn't do it, and the other date was a date that was after absentee ballots were due, which would mean that anyone who's going to, cast an absentee ballot would not have the benefit of a debate. And that's completely unfair, and it also was a day that we were unavailable, but more importantly, you know, we can't have that situation where we have a whole group of voters that are disenfranchised from a debate. So given that he gave one date that was really, a date that could not be, that we could not proceed with, I think that voters absolutely deserve to have the opportunity to hear us debate. And at any occasion where I've had the opportunity to speak, either after him or next to him, we just recently did a candidate forum at the community college. And, I tried to engage as much as I could in a, debate style discussion, because I think that voters really do need to know. And I certainly am. I'm proud of my positions, and I don't know why he wouldn't be of his. I certainly understand he does have a record that, is perhaps, he has some issues, and I want to discuss those issues because I think it's important to discuss that record, because going forward, one of the things that we've talked about is accountability. And, he's not going to improve the situation of his record if people aren't held accountable. And I think that's one of the chief problems that he's facing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the stumbling blocks early on was the fact that he insisted that you reveal certain tax records, which you did not do.
Well, I did. I was asked to produce my federal tax returns. And I produced my federal tax returns. And then he made another request that I produce my state tax returns, and that I hadn't, by some, I guess some reason I didn't. I think he was claiming, I'm not sure exactly what he was claiming, but I think what he was claiming was that I needed to produce my state tax returns as well, which were identical to my federal returns essentially. So I did not understand that that was the case. So I gladly provided them to public radio first. And once again, this was a call from Mr. Dooley. This is not a requirement. This is something that I did voluntarily. I produced 6 years of returns, and he referred to something about a marriage on his part of the Comcast. But that was because I had a previous spouse, and I wanted to protect her privacy, so I didn't produce those records. But certainly, that should not be a hindrance to having a debate. And if the county executive wanted to have my returns as a subject of the debate, we could certainly do that as well. So there's really no reason to not debate. And we went on for 2 months asking him to debate. And it wasn't as if we were trying to goad him into a debate. We really wanted to have a debate to discuss the issues, and I still do.
Only a couple of minutes left. Similar questions to Mr. Dooley. Are you going to support the transportation tax amendment?
With respect to that, when you talk about supporting it, yes, I'm going to vote for it. I think that it brings needed infrastructure to our community. I think that as county executive, it would be very difficult to turn down the jobs that it brings and the infrastructure that it brings. It's not my favorite as far as a tax goes. I mean, I believe that it is regressive. It's not what I would, what I would hope to see. But, with respect to our state legislature, they did not produce an economic development package, and they did not produce any better alternatives. And I think that as county executive, I think it's important that we bring those things to our community.
Some of our listeners think that county taxpayers will be hit harder than anybody else.
Well, and I understand, I will say this, we would receive from that, some great benefits to our area and jobs as well.
Right to bear arms amendment?
It's not really, I think that's already covered, really. I don't see any reason for voting for that. It's already the state of the law, and I don't know that it really brings much to us as a community.
Except emotion.
Well, there you go.
Just a few seconds left. If you do not prevail in this in this contest. Given the tone of the campaign so far, can you support Mr. Dooley?
Well, I can say this. I have no animosity toward Mr. Dooley whatsoever. I mean, you know, he's said some pretty unkind things that I think are not founded in any fact whatsoever, but I'm certainly open to having that discussion. I'm open to having that discussion.
It's been a very bitter campaign, a kind of a disappointment to a lot of people who have been watching it.
You know, I think that when the ad started about, the issues, when he started raising some of the issues that he's been raising as of late, you know, those were disturbing to me. You know, I believe that my ads have been factually based.
All right. Got to end it right there. Steve Stanger, thanks very much for being with us. Good luck on August 5th.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We have a program note here. The Republican candidates for St. Louis County Executive, Rick Stream and Tony Pesosa, will be on this program next Tuesday, July 29th. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about Tony La Russa's contribution to the St. Louis Cardinals as he is about to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Then we'll take a look at a new college course on the science of brewing beer. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.